Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life, there's no surrender. There's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
And also part of the Patriot Journalist Network, which you can find the Patriot Journalist Network and find other shows such as Mark Prasik's show, Full Armor. All you have to do, if you are a Facebook user, is going to the search engine and type in as one word, Patriot Journalist Network, and you will find the show there. Mark Prasik's show is from 8 p.m. till midnight, Monday through Friday, Eastern Time. Now, tonight, of course, as most nights, but a little earlier tonight, we have callers and chat participation. Welcome, of course. And tonight, we'll have some members of the Bard's Logic Political Talk panel. discussing strategy going into the election day and beyond. And some of the topics covered tonight will be ballot access, discussing House, Senate, local, district, and sheriff seats, and what has to be done. We'll answer questions about what has to be done to be in our individual states, I should say, to be part of the solution in 2012. And we'll also discuss the write-in rules in detail for each state when it comes to write-in ballots. And at this time, I will bring in Chris, one of the members of the panel, opening up the mic. Chris, thank you for calling in. How you doing?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Oh, good. Quit eating those baby elephants. You need to save them. Save them. And for folks listening in, what I mean is go listen to the archives where I had special guests from the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust. It's a great organization who helped save baby elephants from poachers in Kenya. And for only $50 a year, you can save a baby elephant from death at the hands of poachers who killed their parents. So please check that out. It's a great cause, and it was a great show. So we'll go ahead and continue on with our discussion for tonight. So go ahead, Chris.
Well, where did we leave off last night?
Well,
I know you said something about ballot access.
Sure. Yes, last night we left off. We had the series of questions. And last night we left off with talking about ballot access and what it would take in the long term for third parties to actually become dominant parties in the United States.
I think I just finally found the doc.
There you go.
Not like I don't have a few docs in here.
You definitely have stuff to look at.
Geez, I've added more. I'm loading information. Hey, can I promote tomorrow while I'm getting warmed up?
No. I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Chris.
And tell people about the tomorrow is really going to be a cool show because we have a U.S. Senator, Tom Cramer, from the state of Mississippi. And we have a U.S. House candidate, Dr. Dan Cummings, from Wyoming. And what's really neat is everything's ready, you know, locked and loaded, the questions are loaded and everything. Tom is a Navy veteran, and he's also worked in the defense industry. So what a great resource for talking about, you know, national defense, you know, the budget issues, you know, where we're at in the world in terms of defense, because not only did he spend 20 years in the Navy, he's also worked in the industry. So that's going to be really cool. And then, hold on, I'm going to sneeze. I'll be back in 2 seconds.
Sure. Well, while he is sneezing, some of the things we covered last night, and if folks want to go to the chat, but the archives of last night's show, if you have not already, some of the things we covered last night, as we said, included ballot access, but we gave some information on how many state ballots the different third parties are in, and we may reiterate those tonight, but if not, go ahead and check that out on last night's archives. Go ahead, Chris. It sounds like you're back with us.
Yeah, I had to leave again real quick, but I think I'm all right now.
Okay, great.
And the other gentleman, I'm scrolling, Dr. Dan Cummings is a medical doctor running for the U.S. House in Wyoming. And so, you know, we've got somebody from the medical field to be able to talk about Obamacare, its real impact, from somebody as a medical doctor and have an opportunity to discuss real solutions versus the total socialist takeover of our country through this debacle called Obamacare. So tomorrow night's show is going to be awesome.
Well, great. And as I said earlier, we'll be able to get to the topics to finish off the list we had last night. We're going to take some calls earlier this evening, and we do have one in the queue, and I know he has a show at 11 o'clock tonight, and that's Samuel Sanford's Constitutional Conservatives Unite. So I know he has to get ready for that. So I will bring in Sammy and see what his thoughts are on what he heard about last night. That's one of the things I'd like to cover. It's for people to give us their thoughts on last night's show, and we'll, of course, continue with what we want to cover again tonight. So without any further ado, I will be bringing in Sammy.
What,
Sammy, thank
hey,
you very much.
Hey, Robert, and hey, Chris.
Hey, buddy.
Hello again, dear Patriot brother, and both of y'all are Patriot brothers, and we are... The main thing is what Chris is doing out there is friggin' awesome. Chris is digging up the facts. We used to have somebody else that used to do that for the new campaign. And now they have traded their guns to Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can never trust that person again. But Chris is doing a friggin' awesome job out there. And I have nothing but deep respect and admiration for what Chris is doing and for what you were doing, Robert, and for what Rex and Tex are doing. We cannot shut up. We cannot back down, and we have. There's other alternatives other than the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. The RNC and the DNC are both one and the same, and they're trying to steal this election, and I'm not going to shut up, but I'm not going to take up too much of your time because I need to go do some few things.
Yes, and we all, you know, appreciate you coming in and chiming in with your thoughts as well. And, of course, for the folks on the archives, you can find Sammy's show on Blog Talk Radio, Constitutional Conservative Unite. And that's every evening from 11 p.m. till 2 a.m. Eastern time.
I have a question for Sammy. Sammy?
Go ahead, Chris.
What kind of brainwashing technique did we use on you?
Look, I'm a southern redneck, and I'm uneducated, and that's what they were, I've heard a few people try saying.
Oh, geez. So it doesn't matter that you're an American, though, right?
Right. I mean, and these, hey, Chris, I mean, you've heard me since at the end of the day in Tampa, and you knew how fired up and how pissed off I was.
Oh, it was terrible. I mean, it was awesome what you were, but it was terrible. Tampa was terrible.
But you, did you see Rex and Tex twisting my arm and beating the crap out of me, telling me I better support how they think?
I thought they were bribing you by being up there and giving that luxury of Rince Priebus's penthouse.
Oh, that was nice. I mean, I enjoyed those Cuban cigars. And that good Glenfiddich scotch. I mean, that crap was really good scotch. I mean, this was probably 25-year-old scotch. And, I mean, we had a good time with Rince Priebus scotch that was stashed in his headquarters there in Tampa, his temporary headquarters. But there is no way I'm backing down, and there is no way in a rat's ass chance in hell, I hope you don't mind me saying that, Robert, that I am shutting up.
Oh, it's okay. But there's a few words that could get passed. Just no F-bombs and no GDs and, you know, things of that nature.
Yep. ass is an actual word in the dictionary, and rat is in the dictionary, and hell is in the dictionary. And all three of those are in the Bible. But God bless you all, patriots, and we will be on in an hour and 45 minutes. I think we got some special guests, but I'm not going to announce them until I know they're coming on. The people from the Constitution Party are really working hard for me right now, trying to get their candidates on Florida, Illinois, and nationwide.
Cool.
But God bless you all, brothers. Y'all keep on rocking and keep on knocking some damn heads. And I'm sorry, people have been trying to knock my head today, and Robert knows about that. I started to call you Chris, but I mean, because you were mentioned in one of the things. But I wasn't going to bother you with it. I mean, it's little stuff, and we got to look over this petty bullcrap, and we got to keep on fighting for our country. And our country, as far as I'm concerned, is a constitutional party. But God bless you all.
You too, Sammy. Take care, and we will talk to you. We will talk to you later, definitely. Yeah, and those folks who are, you know, bashing us after, you know, taking us off their groups and then bash us while we can't respond, that's just cowards to me. So, you know. But Sammy has left, and thank you very much, Sammy, once again for coming in. And I will reiterate for the folks who just came in, you can find Samuel Sanford's Constitutional Conservative Unite on Blog Talk Radio from 11 p.m. till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. And we have another member of the Bard's Logic panel here on the line who has his own show co-hosting with Tex, the Tex and Rex Show, which is on Monday and Tuesday evenings from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And I suggest folks to check that show out as well. And at this time, I will be bringing in Rex. Thank you very much for calling in, Rex. How are you?
I'm doing well, Robert. How are you doing?
Great, great.
Long time no see, Rex.
Yeah. Hey, Chris. Yeah, we just had a, I think, a pretty fired up show, and obviously we addressed some of the things, same things you were just talking about. You know, some people seem to have a fundamental problem with the First Amendment. I mean, I'm not telling anybody else to shut up, but you better watch your libel and your slander, because that is just beyond the pale. And, you know, look, I don't have to berate people I disagree with, and if I do berate them, I don't silence them. I just simply let them know how wrong they are. But, you know, it seems that some people want to use deceit, slander, and libel to silence opposition. Well, why don't you just outcompete us?
Indeed.
Well, can I add something to that right there? One of the things that I've launched today, and it's like everything I do, I'm four days behind, and my secretary never comes to work, so, you know, I'm one guy, you know. And but one of the things I launched today was to get out and find new friends and find new groups, because,
right,
you know, basically we we started doing this research, and we just really – I mean, we've been called Paul bots, Johnson bots, Good bots. I mean, I don't know what I am next week. You know, I said I was going to vote for Mickey Mouse, so I'm a mouse bot. But, you know, they use censorship. They couldn't debate us, even though they love to talk behind our back. They couldn't debate us. And I find out today that, you know, people are praying for me and stuff. So, you know, I feel better now. But they wouldn't come on and have real conversations, you know, let's talk about the facts, let's talk about the numbers, you know, like this thing about, you know, we keep saying this over and over again, you know, independents and third party are 40% of the nation, and if you're into winning and you like big numbers, that's the biggest number. So, you know, it's like, get a clue. This isn't going to stop. The Republican Party is bleeding, And we don't even have the current numbers. I mean, they've got to be freaking out. They're trying everything in the book, you know, to get people to come back to the party and donate money and support Romney. And there's actually an article that I put in the link that is from Global News that in the Senate, the Democratic senators were getting up there kicking the crap out of Romney, and the Republicans didn't even respond. You know, like three or four of them got up there and said, you know, Romney said this and talking about that and doing this and doing that, basically smearing him. Republicans had no comeback. And I've said this before, the down ballot successes are going to fail because of this guy. He's so bad. He's so dirty. He's so terrible. Everybody's so dysfunctional, you know, leaving the party, going home, going, I give up. The spinoff of him onto decent down ballot candidates is going to affect it. You know, we could lose. It's unreal. So anyway, so we're reaching out to new people and finding, you know, constitutionally minded people, because I think conservative has been bastardized. I really do. I think there's a lot of people out there, you know, and all the groups we used to belong to that will no longer let us post our shows because we're talking about third parties. We're going to destroy the nation. Well, you know, you ain't the only groups, folks. Sorry, but there's millions, 40% of the nation, the largest percentage of people in this nation don't like either party. They're all going to be our friends. So what's 40% of the voting base? That's some big numbers, baby. So anyway, you know, that censorship thing, that one caught me off guard for a little while, because, you know, I watched it, just people just start shutting us down, and you get in habits, you know, and you don't have enough time to do everything you need to do, and you're kind of used to doing your thing and posting on 30, 40, 50 sites. Here's my show, here's my show, here's our show tonight, here's Rex's, here's Sammy, he's, you know, we're interviewing these guys. All of a sudden, they start shutting you down, and, you know, you realize all these people are talking. You know, because their 50 groups maybe have 90% of them are all the same people. They just, you know, have different personalities based on the group. So we're meeting new people. And it's kind of exciting, because I'd rather hang around constitutionally minded people than fake conservatives, to be honest with you. I'm done.
Well, Rex, would you like to comment on any of what Chris said? If not, well, we can move forward. And I would think we can finish some of the last questions we had. Last night, and some that we were going to do last night before we got, it was 10:30, and then we had, you know, we got to brought the folks in, so we'll go from there.
Sure. Well, no, Robert, that sounds good. Just briefly, I'll say that I echo what Chris is saying, and the fact is that, look, America was never designed to be a monolithic nation. All right, we are a nation of immigrants. People got up and left wherever they came from and came here. So we are a plural society with differing ideas and differing views, and we have a common culture embedded in the Judeo-Christian tradition and what we inherited from Western civilization, formerly referred to as Christendom, and especially the English common law and democratic culture that emerged from the English tradition. So, you know, we have a common culture, but we have differing views. And the beautiful thing about liberty is it's absolutely messy, just like human beings. So a multiplicity of voices is a welcome thing. And anybody who wants to silence opposition without out-debating them has already ceded the ground that they have nothing to stand on. And what Chris just said, that the Republicans couldn't come back, well, that's precisely the reason why that snarky libtard on MSLSD, who I just despise agreeing with, Rachel Maddow, she's been right on lately, because she doesn't have to lie to make the opposition look stupid, because we handed her Romney. And I suspect she'll go back to her old ways as soon as, you know, Romney's gone. But you know, that's what this is about. Romney is just absolutely terrible. And if you feel compelled because of the elephant flag to defend him, you're crazy. He's indefensible. Anyway, continue.
Okay, what I like to do is go back to where we left off. Excuse me, doing my stuff. I'm so sorry. Is where we left off is detail, I believe this is start with Chris, about the down ballot strengths in the two top tier third parties.
Oh, you're going to make me find a doc.
Sorry, buddy.
Well, go to Rex first while I'm looking for that doc.
What am I talking about?
We're talking about action plan, what people need to get up and go do, right?
All
that's
right,
kind of
go.
Where we're at.
All right, action plan. This is actually a good thing, and I meant to get into it on our show today, but it just didn't happen, so we'll do it here. Listening to us on Blog Talk Radio is important because we're sharing with you ideas that have, you know, there's a lot of research involved in them, a lot of painstaking effort in figuring out what viable strategies there are and information about what your options are. But that's only informing you how to cast your vote. We're not telling you who to vote for. We're just simply giving you the information so that you can make an informed decision. But that's just you. And there are millions of people that don't know the things that you're now taking for granted. And we human beings all tend to suffer from something called the curse of knowledge. When you know something and you've processed it and you've digested it and you've internalized it and you've made it part of who you are, you take it for granted that that's just a fact. Other people who haven't had this information, to them it's an alien concept or one they've never heard of. But yet they might agree with you because they share your principles and values. So don't suffer from the curse of knowledge. You have to get out of your comfort zone, and you have a responsibility to share that which you've heard with other people. That doesn't mean you go tell them who to vote for. Their vote is their own. But you have a responsibility to inform them so that they can make their vote from a principled position of strength. There are a lot of conservatives, there are a lot of Christians, there are a lot of pro-lifers who are behind the Romney-Ryan Believe in Screwing America tour because they think that those guys are conservative, Christian, and pro-life. The very simple fact is that you have to inform them that that is not the case and that they have other options. Now, maybe you'll change your mind, maybe you won't. That's not your job. Your job is to inform them. So how do you do that? Well, you either have a conversation with them if you feel that you've garnered the information through our shows or on the Facebook site or done your own research, share that information with them. Or send them to Coalition of Freedom or even give them links to the shows. Okay, you know, the archives are a great resource because all you got to do is send somebody a link and they can click on the page and listen themselves. They can listen in their media player. They can listen on iTunes. And you can even download the MP3 and just zip it to them in an email or a tweet or a Facebook share. You can even, for those people who might not be technically savvy and who maybe you don't know on Facebook or you don't know their email address, you can take the MP3 and you can burn it onto a CD. Okay, so instead of, you know, trying to figure out where you're, you know, I'm not giving any money to the RNC this year, so what am I going to do with that money? Well, why don't you go ahead and spend a couple of bucks on some blank CDs, burn the MP3s, and hand it to your friends, or make a flyer giving them the information. The important thing is you've got to reach out to people who don't know. If all we do is talk amongst ourselves to each other, that's wonderful for confirming us in the direction we're going and getting more information, but it's not expanding the liberty vote. You've got to go reach those people who aren't aware of it. So get out there, get active, and let them know. And by all means, you know, a little self-promotion here, take Bart's Logic Political Talk, Constitutional Conservatives Unite, Tex and Rex Show, and put those links out there. Don't just put them in your groups of like-minded individuals. Put them on, Sean Hannity's page, Mark Levin's page, Greta Van Susteren, Fox News. Actually, today I posted the show on Rince Priebus's page and even Paul Ryan. You know, now it's not because I expect to change Paul Ryan's mind or Rince Priebus, but there are true conservatives who have no idea where to go. They sense that something's wrong, so they go to these pages looking for information, and all they get is rah, rah, rah stuff about Romney Ryan. So you need to inform them. So get out there and do that. It's, if you know and you believe and you've processed it, it's your responsibility. Back to you, Robert.
Okay, great. Right, yeah, and I agree. And it's time, and we said this, and we see what happens when, just the folks ourselves and in our smaller group are definitely active. People come here, listen, people post the shows, come, and then they get out and tell their people. But then, you know, we really need a large grassroots movement, you know, to get things going because we tried that with New, and unfortunately, you know, we see where that went. I mean, one of the arguments I have about people saying about the Republican Party is, oh, well, we'll take over the party, you know, have conservatives take over the party. Well, if Newt Gingrich cannot, who, in my opinion, was probably the strongest most powerful conservative in the Republican Party, and he could not even get past the political elites, you know, in the RNC, then how would someone like, you know, myself or anyone else be able to do that? I just don't know if that would be a workable strategy. Perhaps it would be. I was just told someone the other day who was a district chairperson in New York about that strategy. Oh, we'll become a chairperson. Well, it's not. Of course, you know, you have to be actually a part of the actual party for, you know, many years. And plus, even when you get to a certain point, and I go back to Newt Gingrich, who's to say that, you know, they would be able to have the power to stop the political elite within the party. I mean, you know, I think this past election was a perfect example of that.
Yeah, this past election told us one thing. Your vote and your desires and what you want does not matter. That's what this election told you. You know, I mean, the evidence of voter fraud all the way through the delegate mess, all the way through the convention, you know, if you didn't get that, then you haven't been paying attention and you need to unplug the dang TV and get on sites where you can actually learn something. But anyway, to add on to what Rex was saying, I just was thinking about a couple things that I wanted to help people understand, because when I built this group, this Coalition of Freedom group, it was a research group. It was small. I kept it small on purpose because, number one, I don't want a bunch of followers. I'm not into that game. I don't want to be king of the hill. You know, that's not my goal. My goal is to find, you know, liberty-minded, constitutionally-minded people where we could everybody could get out and do research, bring it back. We could hash it out. We could have healthy debates. We could get mad at each other, get mad at Rex. Anyway. But
go ahead and get mad at Rex. It's fine.
Not it wasn't me. But anyway, what I want to do is, I guess people don't understand how different this group is, and I'm not patting myself on the back for this, but this group is a wealth of knowledge. I mean, everybody's brought something back to the group. The people who are on there bring empower the group. In the file section of this group, I was just looking through, just kind of making a list. We have all the state write-in rules, which is we're still working on that document because it's a complex nightmare, to say the least. Inside that document are links to sites where you can actually go. You can click on a map and then click on your state, and it'll actually show you your whole county breakdown and which voting machines and voting process go on in your county. So for finding, you know, little things like, I mean, we just have tons of information in there. You know, we have things, you know, what I call strategy docs, because I think, you know, I'm a strategic person. That's my professional background, you know, and things like that. You know, building organizations, building information, that's my whole life, really. So, you know, there's docs on strategies, how to think about the future. You know, not how to think about the presidential election, because that's just one part of this whole thing. But how to see the whole future through the parties, through all the parties, what's happening with the Republican Party, what the real numbers are, you know, how it's bled off over the years, you know, what the third parties are, the information. We have docs on the Conservative Party, the Libertarian Party, Tom Hoefling's party, including links. You know, when you open a doc, I always try to provide links to their websites, links to their Facebook, you know, so that you can go to that doc and go out, you know, read and learn, and then go out from there and read and learn more. Every interview that we've done, and I think from the beginning, I'm not 100% sure, but I think every interview we've done, we've had, you know, I launch a document, and then on that document, I'll put data and information at the top, including, you know, if it's a party like Virgil Goode, you know, we'll have their website and maybe a little bio information, and then all the questions that we use through that interview are there. So you can actually see what we're doing. You can actually, like the tomorrow night's interview, the questions are all on the doc. You can open it up as a listener, you know, to the show tomorrow and actually follow our Q&A right down the line. I mean, that's pretty cool. You know, instead of just randomly listening, you can participate in that and see how we think and how we, you know, why we ask the questions that we ask. I have docs on there that we're building now for new Facebook groups, because anybody thinking about not being, pulling the R off your chest and saying, I'm free, I'm an independent, I want to go do my own thing, I'm tired of voting for criminals and liars and cheats, there's a doc on there where we're starting to load new groups onto as we find out everything from, the Constitution Party, Libertarian Party, whatever, their websites, Facebook groups, things like that. So that will continue to evolve. Sorry?
Chris, I just wanted to bring up about the Twitter, because Twitter's an actual, I'd like to get more.
Yeah, I was going to cover that next.
Twitter.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. No, go ahead.
I'm just going down through that, through that list of resources. We have a doc in there that has all the Twitter accounts of people in the group so we can start working together and be more effective in getting the information out. I even have a doc in there where you can go on and find, find information on voting machines, who, what, when, where, why. So this is a resource. And I didn't build it so everybody could stand there and go, wow, this is really cool. Thanks a lot. I built it for what Rex said. I built it so you can take that information and go back to your town, to your family, to your community. Every one of the key interviews that we've done where we've interviewed Hoefling, where we've interviewed Virgil Goode, where we Clymer, all these different people, the state reps for the Libertarian Party and the Conservative Party tomorrow, they're all in there. So you can actually take that link and Twitter it and take it to your friends and say, hey, are you happy with who you're voting for this election cycle? No, I'm not. Hey, you know what? I found some great information. Would you be willing to listen to this? And that's what we're building for you, is resources so you can take that information and help people, see what you see. That's the important thing of grassroots. Sometimes that's the part that people don't understand the most. Everybody wants to be part of something, but what you really need to be is you need to be a citizen leader and take that information and go out and share it with other people and then empower them so that they can and then they can share it and empower other people, and it becomes a viral effect. And that's the goal. We want to set people free. I don't want to tell you who to vote for. I mean, that is, and Rex said that, and how many times have all three of us said that? Not my job. I don't let people on my group tell people who to vote for, and I never tell people who to vote for. It's not my job. My job is to educate, inform. I will tell you how I think or what I believe the best strategy is, but when it comes to the end of the day, that's, you have to live that reality, for yourself. And so our goal is not to make you into something. Our goal is to empower you to be something. So I think, that's just kind of what I wanted to share, because, there's a lot of and it's not all me. It's everybody has put something into this. And this is becoming a massive resource. I mean, one of these days I'll take this off of Facebook and build a website. I can build a website in a day. No big deal. Just haven't gone there yet because we're still catching up with ourselves. That dang secretary just won't come to work. So anyway, that's my input. Is we're doing this for you. Not for us. I mean, I love to research and learn because that's my personality. I grew up with a whole family full of teachers, two parents and one grandparent, right? So I love to learn, constantly love to learn. I like the freedom of knowledge. I'm having fun interviewing people who know the Constitution. We interviewed a guy that I don't know how any human being could do this. I mean, he's running for the U.S. Senate in Nevada. He lives in Nevada, and that's his district. He's running for the Senate. And this guy has Guinness World Book of Records and played 1,300 chess games at the same time. I'm just meeting some really crazy, cool people, people who can take you to the Constitution, who can bring you back to the original intent and help you understand how great America was as an idea, where it broke, those stages to get that kind of education. I'm having fun, to be honest with you. I just think it's an amazing thing. I wish some of those people I wish some of those people that are spending all their time and energy attacking us would be part of that journey. Because even if at the end of the day you go back to the Republican Party and toe the line and kiss the ring and vote for Romney, I won't hate you for that. But if I've empowered you and helped you learn about our country, then maybe you will make a difference over there. I mean, that's really what this is about. I mean, isn't that what we're about, Rex?
Yeah, I mean, look, this is this is something that I think sometimes people miss the point. You know, it's not only about doing the right thing because it's the right thing, and it's not only about doing the thing which you are free to do, but it's also about respecting the fact that you have a duty. Okay, you know, there billions of people have lived on this planet. Currently, there's about 7 billion people alive on this planet. And you are one of 315 million Americans. That is a privilege of unbelievable magnitude. And you not only have that privilege that's a gift that you are free, but you have a duty to maintain it, to accept that inheritance from some old dead white guys, and to hand that on to future generations. So, you know, don't tell me, oh, well, I'm, you know, some of my friends aren't very political. Well, I got to tell you something. If you're not interested in politics, you're a fool, because politics is very interested in you and your
mm-hmm.
wife.
And it touches every aspect of your life, practically.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you can't even go to the toilet without politics.
We won't go into details on that one. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, they regulate your flushing.
They're regulating the flushing, how many gallons per flush or something of that nature.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I mean, think about that. If you can't go to the bathroom, which everybody does, hopefully at least once a day, for all of human history, and you can't go there without a political involvement, then how can you tell me that politics doesn't have anything to do with your life?
Right, and going back to the list we have here, I know some of the things, doing a kind of a little check off, is, you know, one thing we want to mention is about registering to vote, write-in rolls. I think, Chris, you have some information on the different write-in rolls for the states. You know, where we're going to go down, we already talked about down ballot access, and I believe that's in part of having the two gentlemen on tonight, or tomorrow night, rather, for the running for the Senate and running for the House of Representatives. And then we also have just the site in general, if there's anything you want to cover on there as well. So what about the write-in rules? You were working on pulling that up, or? Chris?
Well, I can talk about that for a brief moment, not any specific rules, but I will encourage everybody.
Chris got dropped, and I guess I had to come back on. Go ahead, Brad.
I would encourage everybody who is considering writing in a candidate. There's two things. One, there are write-in candidates who are merely write-in candidates because they're not one of the established parties, but their name will actually be on the ballot even though they are, quote, a write-in. In other states, you actually do have to write it in, and you'd better check your state rules as to how you go about doing that. For example, if you're writing in Ron Paul in one of the states that allow write-ins, and you just write in Ron Paul and there is a plumber named Ron Paul, someone could challenge your vote and say, well, they were voting for the plumber. You would have to write something like Congressman Ron Paul or Dr. Ron Paul, some way to clearly identify that you are referring to the Ron Paul who ran for the Republican nomination. For example, Mr. Virgil Goode is actually Congressman Virgil H. Goode with an E on the end of Good, Jr. So, you know, if you're writing him in, you might want to make sure you spell it correctly and fill it out all the way. Do we have Trog back?
I believe so. There he is.
Yeah, sorry, I disconnected myself.
That's okay. No, I don't feel so bad for when I do it.
Yeah.
It's terrible when you do it and you're the host. It's a very disconcerting experience. I did it twice tonight.
Yes. And then you got to make sure the show continues and you hurry up and get back in.
Here's what I've learned about the write-in rules is that it's so complex and varied that as we started doing the research and filling in state by state, it would go on forever, because even in the same state in different counties, based on the machine, there might be different, you know, variables. So this is really going to come down to a point of, am I ever going to get all the information in one place? That's a good question. You know, it's that secretary again. There is a couple links in the, at the top of the page, the write-in rule, the write-in state-by-state page, that actually where you can go in and enter your state and go searching down and see sample ballots and, you know, all kinds of things. And that's almost kind of where we left it, because it's it, every state has different rules, and even inside the state in your county may be a little bit different than the other county. So this is definitely a be aware. Now, what Rex said is true, that some of these states where you actually were called write-in states, but they had to register, that most of them that I've seen so far, and don't quote me on this because it may not be all of them, but most of them, that if you registered and did your thing, you know, did your certification, that you're actually going to be on the ballot under write-in candidates. So in reality, in many of those states, in a write-in state, you're actually on the ballot. I mean, so that's about where we left it last night when I started the show. I was like, oh, okay, we opened the can of worms here. So it is definitely, you need to make sure that you as an individual do some research and don't rely on me to give you all the facts, because I don't think I'm going to get them fast enough to be accurate on all of them. You know, I'll try to have some general information and that type of thing. So, you know, that's my put on that. I just, you know, America, I was talking to my wife about this, and she goes, God, this is a mess. It's so different, and every state is different, and da-da-da. And I said, well, you know why? She's like, why? And I said, because it's a republic. Every state
it's
does
its own
thing.
It's a confederation of republics.
Yeah, every state, you know, does its own things. If it was all uniform from the federal government, you may not like that result after a while either. So, you know, it is what it is right now. Do I believe, I really believe the Gilbert lawsuit is a great lawsuit, because really, if you think about it, we've got most of the states, all but what, eight of them, all but eight states, you can be a write-in candidate. So it is getting better. There are only 10 states that are absolutely no rules write-in states. You just walk up and write their name in. And those states you better have your act together in and know how to write their name in. And actually, in that reality, you can even register in those states, if I understand correctly, and actually get your name on the ballot and that type of thing. So don't, like say, don't quote me on that, but that's what I'm seeing bits and pieces of that too. So that's all I got on write-in. Sorry, you know, that's a lot of work getting all those answers, and we're still on it. We're still putzing away at it.
Yeah, one thing I'd like to chime in, Robert, before you take it real quick, is just on what Chris said regarding us being a confederation of republics and different rules and such. Well, that's the beautiful mess of liberty. And I'm probably dating myself here, but I remember there used to be some Wendy's commercials with a woman who looked quite East German. And for you playing at home, East Germany used to be the communist part of Germany before they broke down the Berlin Wall. And she was wearing like a drab gray dress, and they were having a fashion show, and she'd come out, you know, holding a beach ball, and they would say, now we have swim there, and then it's next evening there, and the woman would come out in the same drab dress holding a flashlight. So the thing is, if you want simple uniformity where you don't have too much complexity as far as making choices and understanding the various rules, then you probably would feel very at home in a fascist dictatorship, which is where we're headed if you don't wake up, because then you won't have to think and you won't have to know the rules and you won't have to figure things out. You just simply do what you're told. So slavery is very neat. It's very orderly. It doesn't require much effort. But it is not a normal human condition, because we were made to be free. So back to you, Robert.
I just wanted to ask, because I know there are you mentioned the Richard Gilbert lawsuit, and also made me think of the debate and where there was talk about having Jill Stein, Gary Johnson, and perhaps even Virgil Goode on that debate with Romney and Obama. Has anyone heard anything more about that? I think there was a lawsuit on that as well.
No, I haven't heard. Rex might have heard something about the lawsuit. I have not. I can do some research while we're talking, but I do know that sponsors are pulling their money.
Yes, I heard about that. Yes,
and of course
I've seen an article about that.
And they're all getting upset because, you know, that's unpatriotic. Of course, they don't want to have an open, you know, free debate of ideas with people that are actually on enough ballots to actually compete against them and win. You know, they want to control it. So they want to have the rules. But now that people are going, well, we don't like that, it's not fair or honest, now they're mad at them because they want fair and honest. And that kind of reminds, doesn't that remind you of the same thing we're going through?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And I do like the idea. I'm trying to pull up who it was who pulled out of their other sponsorship. And through my understanding, that's where the commission gets a lot of their funds is through you know, those sponsorships. So maybe that'll be a way of quote unquote motivating them to act and go ahead and let those other folks come on. And I think, you know, of course, you know, it's supposed to be about, you know, open debate, not just what you're going to hear from, you know, the two parties, which, you know, pretty much is one. I mean, I can't even imagine what Obama and Romney could possibly debate about since they pretty much agree on everything.
I mean, it's going to be a comedy show of epic proportions. I mean, I refuse to listen to Romney speak because it's just bad for my blood pressure. But
I don't know if it'll be comedy.
It could be like a sad tragedy.
Yeah, I think it's more like, of a tragedy. A comedy would be like Colbert and Stewart debating, but Dennis Miller maybe. But this is definitely a tragedy.
Yeah, I mean it's you know, of course it's going to be, you know, just, you know, talking points and, you know, things that are supposed to be, quote unquote, on the platform, you know, the Republican Party. We hear a lot about that. You know, we hear, you know, when people are saying, oh, well, look at the Republican platform. I mean, it's so different from the Democrats, and the Democrats try to take, you know, God off their platform and things of that nature. But, you know, they have to come to the understanding that, you know, well, the platform's just, you know, words, paper, and ink. I mean, is that something that they're going to abide by? Or is that something that's just going to be business as usual? And, you know, where have there been, I think Chris brought up this point as well as others, is where have the Republicans, you know, stopped, you know, the Democrats and stopped Obama? I mean, they raised the debt, you know, continually raised the debt ceilings for one. You know, they've done nothing to so far, you know, except they look like they try to make attempts to do something about Obamacare. But what true efforts have they really done to try to get rid of it?
Nothing. In fact, didn't they just fund it?
Yeah.
Didn't they just vote to fund it?
Yeah. Sure. Well, I mean, why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they? Look, understand something. The alleged conservatives and the alleged liberals, neither of which are conservative nor liberal, in the federal government are absolutely 100% convinced that they know what you need better than you do. And in some cases, they might be right. Some people don't really know what they need, and they will flounder and they will fail. But that's life. Suck it up. And the fact is that if they're in your community and they're failing and floundering because they don't know how to succeed and they don't know how to take care of themselves, if they're incapable, it's your responsibility personally to help them. And if they are simply unaware, then it's your responsibility to teach them. But it is not your responsibility to vote for some jerk-off to go to Washington to force them and you to behave a certain way because somehow they think it's better for you. But that's the mentality that they have, which is why they vote for these things. So, you know, don't trust them. They don't know squat. These are morons that have failed up in life.
Yeah,
you want some college-educated professional politician making decisions for the rest of your life. Isn't that just an absolute oxymoron?
Or at least a moron.
Well, you know, and that's where, you know, it used to be back, you know, quite some time ago, probably just maybe not even just one generation ago, our parents, where, you know, if there was someone in the neighborhood that was, you know, having some kind of financial difficulties, there's two places that, you know, that they would go to. One would be the local church or organization like that, a nonprofit organization that helps out folks like that. Or, you know, there'd be family or friends who would, you know, help them out in their time of need. you think of that nature. I think one of the things someone from the Constitution mentioned was getting a little bit more back to the barter system, you know, where, hey, if I got a good or service that I've got and my neighbor or someone else has, you know, a service or good that the other person needs, then instead of money changing hands, then they go ahead and exchange, you know, through some kind of a barter system. He says that is actually something that's vastly underused, which, you know, I really agree with that.
Hello?
Are you taking a break?
No, I'm here. I just didn't have anything. I just left it at that if anybody wants to, you know, chime in on anything.
Well,
you know, what
we're
I've
slow. Said. You got to tell us that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, that's where I'm going, Chris.
Go ahead, Rex.
I can't necessarily disagree with you. I mean, the simple fact is that the most important thing that you can do is the right thing to do. Now, we human beings don't always know what that is, and for the most part, we're actually going to fail in that endeavor. But the fact is that you do what you think is right to the best of your ability. And I could tell you something that I know for a fact cannot be right. It cannot be right to fear the current moron in the White House so much that you are willing to vote for a moron who had to steal the nomination from you and has restarted his campaign like 6 dozen times, and every time he restarts it, it gets worse. And his little, you know, liberal buddy from New Jersey, Chris Christie, has made the announcement today that Mitt Romney is restarting his campaign with the debate. Dude, if you couldn't restart it with Ryan, with the foreign policy debacle of Obama, with the convention that you stole, do you really think you're going to restart it in a debate where two morons are going to talk around real issues and one of them is actually liked and you are despised? I mean, that's just insanity. So anyway.
Well, and two things I'd like to say. One is, how many times do you have to shake that Estes catch before you finally get the picture right? You know, that's one. And two, you know, I think that's why it's, you know, it's so important for the other candidates such as Goode, Johnson, and even Stein, you know, to be at these debates, because I think if these debates are going to have any kind of substance to them, any kind of meaning to them, the only way for that to happen and for the American people to get actual, real answers about how things could possibly get fixed in this country, you're going to have folks from the other two parties, because one thing that I would think would be plainly obvious, I know, yeah, okay, that's kind of, you know, redundant to say that, you know, plainly obvious, but what I think...
You're from Ohio, we get it.
Yeah, I get it. So, well, it's not like corn. No, but anyway, it's all the corn and the Doritos I eat now. But the two parties, both the Republican and the Democrat Party, have failed. Why would anyone think that either candidate, whether Obama or Romney, would really have the answers in these debates to give us that can bring this country back? They do not have them. They've already shown that they do not.
Well, I'm curious, as you know, I think we should have some other people in the debate for one major simple reason, because the other candidates actually have read the Constitution. It would be nice to know what the actual law of the land is in this debate. Yes, Rex?
Yeah, it might be a good idea, since it is the governing law, to actually read it. And just so that we're clear on a couple of things, you don't have to be a lawyer to read it, because it is a plain language document. And they will try to tell you that, you know, based on precedent and jurisprudence, blah, 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 you need a 3-year Harvard degree in order to understand it, which is just crap, because it's a pretty plain document. It ain't that long. It's not that hard to read. And it spells out exactly how the federal government works. It spells out exactly what they are allowed to do. And, in fact, it has several sections that say specifically what it is not allowed to do. You cannot vote appropriately for any position if you don't know it. And for that matter, you should read your own state constitution also. Some of those are actually kind of complex because the lawyers have taken over, and I would strongly suggest you elect people who will simplify them. But you should definitely read those things, because any statute, law, rule, or reg that they try to impose upon you that does not comport with the Constitution is invalid. It is illicit. It is unlawful.
You know, gentlemen, one of the things we'd like to do tonight is to have people call in,
yep,
and, you know, see their mind, whether they agree or disagree with what we've been discussing for weeks now. And I noticed someone in the chat, and Tea Party Paul, I'm speaking directly to you, and I'll even put on the air what he's got here. It says, "Let's get this done, guys. Romney Ryan, 2012, donate and volunteer. Let's get involved." Well, I offer this to you, Tea Party Paul. The call-in number is 347-945-7428. And you call in and you tell us here, both the audience and the hosts here and the panel, on why we should go out and donate, volunteer, and get involved. So you are more than welcome to call and be heard. So,
and I want to know about that NDAA thing. That's the and burning up the Bill of Rights. That's the one I want to know about while we're in that discussion.
So I offer the challenge to you, just like I offered it to other folks, especially on some of the pages that we have been kicked off on, and then they want to say things about us while we cannot respond. But let's go ahead and respond. You're more than welcome to call in. The only rules I would have for you, Tea Party Paul, is that there's no profanity, and we keep the call civil and respectful. That's all I ask. So, okay, great. You gave me an area code. Once I see it, I will let you into the show, and we will let you get there. You are. Well, folks, here is Tea Party Paul. Remember the two rules, and I think we will get along okay. So I'm opening up your mic. Your mic is live.
Guys, I appreciate you letting me on your show. Name me the two rules, because when I was calling in, I was muting my computer, so you guys didn't have feedback.
No problem. And they're two very easy rules to follow. One, there's no profanity. Two is just stay respectful. That should be pretty easy.
I have a six-year-old daughter. I don't want her to hear any profanity, so I wouldn't say anything in front of you guys. I wouldn't say in front of her. Trust me.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Go ahead.
Well, it's a thing of this. We have two choices in this election, and I call in a lot of radio shows, whether it's on the actual radio on FM dial or AM dial or on Blog Talk Radio. You have two choices in this election. We all know, and we can all sit back and talk about Barack Obama and his rights on the Constitution, his executive order putting 1.2 illegal immigrants in our job roles when we have 23 million people either underemployed or unemployed in this country. We can look back at Paul Ryan actually proposing the only plan in Congress in the last 6 years that actually reduces our debt over time. Whether he doesn't balance the budget until 2036, that doesn't matter, because what we have to have is a plan set forth where we take care of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Our interest payments on the debt within the next 10 years will be almost as much as we spend in defense spending across the world, even if we have 170 bases, which 60 of them across the world only have 10 people in them, and we're in Iraq, war in Iraq and Afghanistan. You can go look at costofwar.com right now. We spent less, almost, in Iraq and Afghanistan. Barack Obama has ran up in deficits in our country in 2 years. So we can go back in all this historical reference. We have all the facts and data on our side, and what I always say is, as conservatives, we have real-life arguments. I've worked two jobs for 3 years. I work 65 to 75 hours a week. I have a six-year-old daughter. I pay $400 a month in child support. It was my mistake. It's a consequence of my action. When people start taking personal responsibility and raise their kids and teach them the values and morals that we carry on as conservatives, because we've lived it and we've been broke and I've been homeless and I've been poor and I've ate ramen noodles and things of that nature, then no liberal or socialist or Democrat can ever come to me and tell me, you don't know what you're talking about, because I've lived these things that they talk about every single day. And this is what my virtues and my values have brought me to be a successful American and to defend my principles and my virtues today. And my vote among the two people, either Barack Hussein Obama or Mitt Willard Romney, I'm going to vote for the Republican ticket, period, bar none.
Okay, would either Chris or Rex like to chime in on that?
Well, I was waiting for the info commercial to end and actually tell us what Romney was going to do different than Obama, not the facts of the economy.
I can do that, too, if you want
know.
Me to.
Well,
yeah, I'm kind of curious. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, well, let's look at this. USA Today just had a recent red and blue state of income level in America where they listed all the red states, almost 13 of them, had higher income gross per capita growth in the last 4 years than almost every blue state in America. This is in USA Today, I think it was Thursday morning paper that they released. North Dakota, 30%, far ahead of every single other state in the United States of America. You know why? Because they're drilling for oil, they're drilling for natural gas, they're fracking in North Dakota. They can barely have housing to house these people. There's other people on Blog Talk Radio that are in North Dakota. They are up there, and they're saying they're living three or four people in a trailer or in a mobile home because they have work, but they can't find housing. They can't build it fast enough. North Dakota, what, the unemployment rate is almost 3% in North Dakota. Look at Canada, one of the only countries in the world that was not affected by the recession because they have opened up their oil shale. They have opened up their particular drilling and oil shale excavation in Canada. They're creating hundreds of thousands of jobs in Canada. They're trying to build a pipeline through the United States to have it refined here in America. Mitt Romney will open the Keystone Pipeline. Mitt Romney will then limit regulations on coal power plants, where right now coal power plants by 2016 have to have carbon scrubbers initiated in every new power plant for the next 4 years. I'm giving you fact after fact. I know you might not like this, but we have coal power plants, 112 of them will close within the next 4 years. We only have 22 on the list to be built within the next 4 years. I'm giving energy independence as the existence of our future. Where do terrorists get their money? From us buying barrels of oil, from us buying gasoline from them. This is where they get it. If we have energy independence in America, we have natural gas vehicles, where we have oil drilling, where we have fracking and natural gas to heat our homes, not only will we then as individual American citizens, where 70% of our natural resources are put in transportation, be energy independent, but we will also be able to sell those products around the world because we have more coal in the United States of America than any other country in the world.
Robert, can I get in here and interrupt that?
Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. I mean, I can't comment on what he said because I fell asleep, but you realize this is radio, mm-hmm. right? So we're supposed to have a conversation, and I'm getting like a 30-minute lecture from you giving me all sorts of talking points, but you haven't given me anything about...
No, it's not talking points. I'm giving
why
you...
You
hold
believe,
on.
Why,
on
haven't given me,
let Brex talk. Go ahead.
You haven't given me any reason as to why I should believe that Romney is going to do any of these things, given the fact that his behavior indicates, one, his policies in the past have been the complete opposite of any conservative principles, and two, he's not the nominee for the Republican Party. He stole the nomination in contravention of the party rules, the federal law, and any sense of decency. So explain to me how you think that he's going to do the things that he allegedly says he's going to do, which you're talking about.
Name me a single state Ron Paul won. All right,
a single
there,
state Ron Paul won?
Okay.
Ron Paul had 14 states. Ron
oh,
Paul
he
had
won
14 states.
States?
Yeah, he had 14 states.
Oh, he won
states.
The vote in 14 states.
Yes,
we are not a democracy.
States.
We are
and he had six. He had six states submit his name legally into nomination at the convention. All he needed was five. So
well,
he was.
We
he
heard.
Was,
we heard his name. They let him announce the different delegates that voted.
No. He was nominated to be on that first ballot, as was Newt Gingrich. But the vote was not had for either one of them. It was only for Mitt Romney.
Oh, okay.
So
even though
that.
Mitt Romney got the majority of electoral votes in almost
no,
every
not.
Single state other than Rick Santorum, Newt Gingrich,
Heineken,
and Georgia.
He did not get the majority of electoral votes.
Oh,
no.
So the people went to the ballot box, and even though Ron Paul didn't
no, no, no,
win
I'm
a
talking,
state
I'm
at the
talking,
ballot
I'm,
box.
No, no, I'm talking about the delegates at the convention. We elect our nominees
yeah,
at the
because
convention.
Because Ron Paul took over the main party. He took over and
no, no,
he
Ron
seated seven people
take,
in the Arkansas
no, no, no,
party.
Ron
took over
Paul
the
didn't
Iowa
take over,
Republican
Ron Paul didn't
yes,
take over anything.
Did.
His,
pe- lying,
his people went. His people went to the convention, to the state conventions and caucuses, and were duly elected to represent
yes.
the people of their districts at
and
the Republican convention.
The people
okay, gonna,
who voted majorities in their district, right?
Hold on, gentlemen. Hold
yes.
on. I'm gonna interject here. I'm gonna interject here and remind the role. Part of the respect of the folks on here is that one speaks at a time. So, Paul, when I mean, if I have to
That's okay.
be a moderator, then I'll have to be a moderator.
I understand.
So, yeah, you say your points, and then Rex would get his time to get his points through. And when Rex says, okay, I'm done, and then Chris, and if I have to put a timer, I will, but hopefully we won't have to, you know, be that stringent. So go ahead,
that's
Rex,
fine. Go ahead,
and then Chris, I know you want to chime in, and then we'll go back to you, Paul. Go ahead, Rex.
Well, I mean, I'm going to go back to the same question. Let's just be clear about something. The rules indicate that when people go to their caucuses and their conventions, they vote on their delegates. Their delegates are assigned to go to the convention and exercise their judgment at that time for whom of the nominees that are submitted into nomination at the convention they believe is the best man to actually win for the party. And so that's what happened, except that the delegations that submitted both Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich's names, those forms were not accepted even though they were fully legal and in compliance with the rules, and at least 35% to 40% of the delegates were not even credentialed to be put into the convention, even though they had been duly elected. So given that this kind of contravention of not only the party rules, the state rules, the federal law, and any sense of decency was subverted by Romney and Priebus and Boehner, how can you tell me that Romney can be trusted to do the things that you allegedly say he's going to do?
Okay, that was a direct question. So go ahead, Paul, and then Chris, we'll go over to you unless there's a counterpoint that Rex would like to make. Go ahead, Paul.
Okay, yeah, this is something obviously he doesn't know who he's talking to. I wrote down federal law. What federal law delegates the primaries or caucuses in the individual states? So in individual states like in Arkansas, in instance, I'm just going to educate you here a little bit. For Arkansas, in instance, according to your particular district and your committee chairman that go to your particular Republican convention in the state of Arkansas, for the Republican Party of Arkansas, it depends on your committee chairman in that particular district or in that particular committee boundary lines. They vote according to the popularity or the majority vote in that particular district or voting lines, whether it's Jacksonville, Little Rock, Cabot, whatever city we have here. In Arkansas for that particular committee chairman when we go to vote on March 12th here in Arkansas. So you are saying that delegates voted against the majority of the people in their state for a particular candidate that you like, and that's why you're believing that Mitt Romney is going to circumvent the Constitution of the United States like Barack Obama, and he should not be elected, so we don't vote so that Barack Obama gets elected again. Is that what you're saying?
No, I think you completely twisted it around, and I don't really appreciate your condescending attitude because just to be clear about something, the delegates were duly elected at their state conventions according to the party rules and the state rules. No one can interfere with their right to exercise their judgment according to the Voters' Rights Act of 1971, Section 42B. You can look it up. So clearly, John Boehner and Reince Priebus were in violation of federal law, and especially John Boehner, who had the teleprompter prepared in advance of a vote to say aye to the rules that will actually wipe out any future states' rights regarding the appointment of delegates in the party. So clearly this is some kind of autocratic takeover of the party in contravention of any rules of democracy or Republican form of government. And so how can I expect these people and their candidate, Romney, to respect the Constitution of the United States, and why would I give him the power given to him in Article 2? That was a question.
Back to me?
Go ahead.
Okay, that's fine. So the only delegation that did get set up was the main delegation. They basically walked out, went and picketed in front of the particular
RNC.
You had Ron Paul delegates from all the states come forward, whether it was three or four or five or six of them, even though he didn't win the majority of votes in any caucus or primary. And you can name me. Just go ahead and type in the chat room the states where he won the majority of votes in any of the caucuses or primaries. I'd love to look that up. If I'm wrong and he won one or two, then please correct me. But you had Mitt Romney, who won the majority of the voters, the Republican voters across the country. I'm sorry if you don't believe in the Republican Party. I'm sorry if they – I have friends that are ardent Ron Paul supporters, and they love Ron Paul, or even some Blog Talk radio shows. They love Newt Gingrich, and they said there was going to be a broker convention. I told them, no, it's not, because we have television out there. People are going to get up and scream. Yes,
I do believe some of the edits that they made at the Republican National Convention, where they were able to then go and edit rules in non-convention time within the next 4 years up to the next presidential election, was wrong on their part and bad on their part. Now, if you believe Mitt Romney has the ability to say, do, and orchestrate that in any way, shape, or form, you still haven't answered my question. Do you believe Gary Johnson is the next mantle bearer of the Libertarian ticket when Bob Barr or half the people who believe in Gary Johnson or say say Gary Johnson now on the radio don't even know Bob Barr was the 2008 nominee on the Libertarian ticket, Wayne Allyn Root, the vice presidential nominee in 2008 on the Libertarian ticket, is now a Republican planning to run against Harry Reid 4 years from now? I mean, we can go over and over again of different politicians out there or different aspects, and you guys just believe that if it was every single American citizen out there that puts in their vote, and this is what Ron Paul people, in my heart, I feel, they're sore losers. It's almost like the person you have at school where you go out and play basketball, they would rather, instead of you being picked by the coach as the starter, they would rather you sit on the sideline with them and watch somebody else play because they weren't the starter. That's what I feel day in and day out.
Okay, well, I'm going to interject this, and then we'll go to Chris and then back to Rex. Is one of the things, I don't know how many of the shows you've listened to, and I suggest going back and listen to some of the archives, because one of the things we have not suggested here on this show is to sit on the sidelines. We've never suggested that. The one vote that is wasted is the vote not done. So we're not advocating for people to just stay home. We're offering choices, and we do not subscribe that there's only two choices, Republican and Democrat. And we also do not think that it's only Gary Johnson is a person who will abide by the Constitution. There's other parties such as the Constitutional Party, Virgil Goode, who is also a presidential candidate, that we spoke about and interviewed on this show. And once again, I suggest listening to the archives of these other folks who are running for president, and also the parties and what their platforms and what their beliefs are and how they will adhere to the Constitution. Go ahead, Chris.
I'm good. I'm just enjoying this. Go ahead.
Okay, well, then I'll bring that back to Rex,
I'll have some questions in a little bit.
Sure.
I'm wrapping my racket handle right now.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Rex.
Okay. Well, the thing that really gets me is that you keep asserting that the people voted for Mitt Romney. Well, did you look at the turnout? I mean, it was less than 20%, as low as 17% in some states. So people just stayed home because they despised Romney. And it really is irrelevant, because the fact is the primaries are designed to get people's kind of vibe of what they want. But if the primaries were supposed to decide the nominee, okay, if that was the case, then the rules would not state that the delegates are to exercise their judgment at convention. The whole point of a Republican system is that you elect a delegate. You don't vote directly for the president. You elect a or the nominee. You elect a delegate to exercise their judgment about who the best person is. And the same is true for our presidential election. You don't actually vote for the president. You vote for an elector who will go and vote for the president. So it's not a democracy. It is a republic, and that's a very important thing to keep in mind. Furthermore, if they're willing to break federal law, and Mitt Romney is a supporter of the National Defense Authorization Act, how do you think that he will view the Constitution as president?
I think that was a question you posed, so go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I want him to name me real quick off the top of his head, since he seems very educated and very up to knowledge on the facts. Name me in the last 28 years during a presidential election, other than in 2008 in Nebraska, where an electoral college elector went and voted differently than the majority of people in the state. Can you name me that real quick? Name me one.
When an elector voted differently than the majority of the people in the state?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you mentioned the one that's most recent in 2008. Someone voted for Mitt Romney instead of John McCain. But it doesn't matter whether it's happened.
Presidential.
Yeah, that was for the president. An elector voted
in Nebraska in 2008.
Yeah, well, look. Go ahead, Robert.
No, I was just going to say.
No. Let him answer. Don't switch off. Come on now. Let him answer my question.
He asked me a question, And I'm clarifying. So hold on a second, okay? Relax, guys. No, what it is, I'm just clarifying it. It's not for the convention who's going to be the nominee. You're talking about, Paul, a electoral college for the actual presidency between the Democrat and the Republican.
Oh, the electors in the presidential election.
Right.
I don't have that information, but that's besides the point. It's just because something hasn't happened doesn't mean that the Constitution doesn't allow for it.
Okay. Well, you know, each state party has their own.
But he brought you a
problem.
Real quick, Paul. He posed a question. Real quick, Paul. Thank you. Thank you very much. Rex posed a question to you, and if Rex would like to repeat it, that's fine. That I do not believe that you answered. Go ahead, Rex.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Well, the question was, since they're willing to break federal law at the nomination, and Mitt Romney is fully in support of the National Defense Authorization Act, how do you expect him to respect the Constitution if he becomes president?
Because Paul Ryan voted for the NDAA. I understand. I've gotten in many debates with a best friend of mine named Wade, who is 10 times more intellectual than I am, and he believes in internet freedom and this, that, and the other. I understand all that. So you base the entire future of our country off of one bill?
No, I don't. That's just the one example I gave you. I can name 10 dozen of them.
Okay,
but that's
so Mitt Romney. Name me the second. Hold on.
That's a pretty important one.
No.
That's a pretty important one. That's a pretty important one.
Chris hasn't had an opportunity to chime in. If you'd like
no,
to chime
I just
in,
wanted to answer the question, not twist and dive, and then come back with another question.
No, it's not twist and dive. You
name
me one piece of legislation that Mitt Romney had no effect on in any way, shape, or form.
Hold on. Mitt Romney said he would vote for NDAA the way it stands on a debate stage. So let's go back and finish
and
the question.
And that affects our
why
entire country.
Why would I trust the man
that affects
who
our debt,
that?
Our deficit, that affects our future, my child, my grandchildren,
oh,
my
yeah,
future
yeah.
grandchildren.
It burns the Bill of Rights to the ground in the Constitution. The Bill of Rights are gone in that article. Now, you want me to trust that man?
Then let's not vote for Mitt Romney because of NDAA, and let's let Barack
Obama
get into office,
right? That's just one item. That's just one item. But you don't have
a second item.
You as a human being who wants to bring up your child in the conversation do not have an opinion on the NDAA?
No, I don't.
Your future of your whole future of your country went down the drain with that bill. Your freedoms went down
the Patriot Act is what the future of our country went down with. So now it's
the
NDAA, not the Patriot Act.
Yeah, that was the first Republican traitor in this country.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you a question, Tim.
Go ahead, sir.
Do you believe that the U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land?
Yes, it should be.
Okay. And do you believe that Mitt Romney has indicated through his past legislative actions and his recent statements that he is in support of the U.S. Constitution?
Much more than Barack Obama, yes.
No. Do you believe that he
No, much
does...
more than Barack Obama? This
no,
is
that's
the,
not an answer. I'm not, we're not talking
that
about
you guys
Barack
will
Obama.
Not
we're talking
to,
about
no,
Mitt Romney.
To me.
We're talking about Mitt Romney, not
talk?
Barack Obama.
Yes,
Mitt yeah,
Romney.
I will, but I,
much
but I want
more
you to talk
than Barack
about
Barack Hussein
one
Obama.
Time, gentlemen.
Now, you have two people to vote for. Do you
know?
There's
actually two dozen.
You can
people
vote
for
Virgil
for.
Good or Gary Johnson, whatever you want to do. That's a waste of vote.
Right.
But that reminds
is
me,
it?
Ralph Nader
is
had more
really?
Votes than Virgil Good and Gary Johnson put together. No wonder they're not in the debates. But you have two people.
Well,
Mitt Romney will up. This is when you guys can't answer. Hold on. Let me ask all of you, your whole panel, a direct question. Do you believe Mitt Romney will uphold the Constitution of the United States more than Barack Hussein Obama?
No.
Okay.
No, we do
no
not.
Way.
That's all we need to know. Then the discussion is there, I guess.
Here's the speciousness of your argument. You're basically saying that somebody who is more or less likely to violate the supreme law of the land is the better choice. I mean, that's not the choice. The choice is that it is the supreme law of the land. Therefore, I cannot vote for somebody who's going to flout it in any way, shape, or form. We're going to vote for somebody who's going to uphold it because that's the job. So, you know, the idea that he's better than Barack Obama or worse than Barack Obama, I don't even know how you do that calculus. The fact is that on every single policy, they're more or less identical. And just because Mitt Romney happens to be in the Republican Party doesn't make him a constitutionalist in any way, shape, or form. And since Article 2 of the Constitution defines the job of the presidency, if somebody doesn't believe in the Constitution as the supreme law of the land and doesn't think that it constrains their ability to do their, you know, whatever they want to do, then why would you nominate that man?
So you believe Mitt Romney is just going to do an executive order to regulate the Internet? To change DNS proxy servers on internet websites that have copyright laws against Hollywood? You think Mitt Romney's going to do that?
He certainly you know, wiped out all the hard drives of the records of his governorship in Massachusetts, so I wouldn't put it past him. No.
Okay, well, this is what you have to understand in Massachusetts. There was no wiped hard drives where they picked the hard drives up and smashed them on the ground or this, that, and other. They requested public documents on his particular emails. The emails were not there when he left his Massachusetts governorship. He vetoed 800 different bills in the Massachusetts governorship. He had Democrats that worked all through his particular governorship. So what are you telling me he wiped the hard? He went through one by one and wiped them himself. Is that what you're saying?
Of course not. That's not what I'm saying. I mean, you know what? This is.
So, I mean, why would you bring up a stupid ass point like that? That's dumb.
Hey, that's not being respectful, Paul.
I brought it up.
I'm just saying.
Because you asked me a question, I'll answer it. I brought it up because, one,
yes,
it did happen, and I never said that he personally wiped out each drive.
Okay.
And I brought
his
it up
people did.
Because you brought up the fact that
now,
you think that he would regulate the Internet.
Drives?
Sure he would.
Well, one at a time.
Go
ahead,
Rex. Who wiped the drive?
Go on, Paul. Rex, go ahead. Hold on, Paul. You don't interrupt. Please.
That's okay.
Go ahead, Rex.
You know, someone like Mitt Romney doesn't actually do his own wet work. He has people who do that for him. Okay.
Okay.
So the simple fact is, though, tell me this, because you're talking about he's better than Barack Obama, he's worse than Barack Obama. I don't know what they were hiding. They were probably hiding just the records of what he did. Okay. Here's the thing to think about. Okay. What evidence, whether it's legislative, executive, or recent actions regarding what he's done, as opposed to, quote, what he says, like I'm severely conservative, indicates to you that Mitt Romney is a conservative?
I never said that.
Okay.
Nobody ever said he was conservative. I campaigned.
Well,
for
he did. He said he was severely conservative.
Yes. I mean, you have plenty of people out there that call themselves conservative. Joe Scarborough calls himself conservative. Do we have to go through them point by point, for God's sake?
Yeah, but I'm only talking about
Mitt Romney.
Now, let me ask you this. So Mitt Romney, he wiped the hard drive of his record of lowering unemployment in Massachusetts to 4.8%, right? Oh, he wiped the hard drive of bringing education from almost dead last in Massachusetts up 8 percentage points, right? I'm just giving you fact. Google search whatever I say, for God's sake. That's all I ask. So he wiped the records of bringing Massachusetts from a deficit to a balanced budget, right? He wiped the facts of vetoing 800 bills in a supermajority House and Senate in Massachusetts. He wiped the facts and wiped the records. Why do you think Barack Obama hasn't brought up
his reign
in Massachusetts?
Before we pivot to,
go ahead,
to another,
go ahead,
another minutia, let's go back to what you just said. I asked you what makes you think that he's a conservative. You said no one thinks he's a conservative, other than obviously
Mitt
Romney.
I think he's a moderate.
He said he was severely conservative. Why do you think that he would be better than Barack Obama on, say, oh, I don't know, Obamacare or the NDAA or on abortion or on so-called gay marriage or any of the other issues that are important to conservatives?
Okay. Now, we'll go by these one by one. Now, I don't care about the Internet, your piracy on Hollywood movies on the Internet and taking their DNS servers. We'll put that off to the side. Now, Romney Care, there's a constitution in Massachusetts. Every single poll in Massachusetts came out where those individual citizens wanted Romney Care in Massachusetts. Before and after in Massachusetts. Barack Obama instituted a federal, for the first time in our history, where we have to buy a product on a federal level against the polling of every single American, whether it was then when he first worked on the bill or now after the bill. Every single one is upside down. People oppose that particular bill. The people of Massachusetts wanted Romney Care. Even if Mitt Romney vetoed Romney Care in Massachusetts, they had a supermajority in the House, a supermajority in the state Senate. They could have passed it anyway and overrode his veto.
Well,
right?
regardless, I'm going to chime in with this question. I normally don't do this, but I will. And I do have someone on the line I want to bring in shortly. Is you bring up all, well, this is what Massachusetts wants, yada, yada, yada. Okay. Mm-hmm. What have you heard?
Yada, yada, yada.
And I've heard this enough, well, because that's just a phrase of mine. But what I'm saying is the point I'm getting to is that, because that's irregardless of what I'm going to say, that's what I mean by yada, yada, yada.
No, that's not irregardless. That's just fact and record.
Wait a minute. I'm saying irregardless of what I'm getting ready to say.
Yes, sir.
So, that's, okay, I'm trying to explain that. Give me the chance. Okay. What I'm saying is, have you heard Romney say that he would like to see Massachusetts Romney Care, basically, done for the entire nation? I mean, because I do have an audio. I do have an audio clip that I can play for the folks, mm-hmm, if necessary.
Oh, I've heard it.
Telling
it's on
how he would like
it's
to he would like he would like to nationalize Romney Care. I mean, I can put that up if that's needed.
It's on BuzzFeed.com. Two of his advisors that helped write the bill, it wasn't ALAC who wrote his bill. It was two of his advisors that helped write the bill. They're both lawyers. They helped write Obamacare. But also Mitt Romney said, if I get elected president, my first duty as president of the United States of America is to repeal Obamacare.
We
have a House of Representatives at the moment
that
did not repeal the funding for Obamacare. This man has said it in his own words. Now, we can guess whether or not he's going to repeal Obamacare, which we all agree. 100%. Me and your whole panel agree Obamacare has more tentacles around our entire Constitution and entire citizens in the United States of America than any bill passed in federal history. Okay?
No, I would argue
he said
that NDAA
was
is worse. NDAA is worse.
Mm-hmm.
NDAA is a worse
bill
than
Obamacare.
Go ahead with
your question. He's not going to get off of the Internet and DNS servers being taken over for copyright infringement. We're going to move past that and talk about actual policy that affects my daughter.
I'm pretty sure the repeal of the Bill of Rights will affect your daughter. She'll grow
I understand
up in a world
the Constitution explains DNS servers and copyright infringement in America being the number one issue that every voter is thinking about. I understand
I don't
that,
know,
man. Let's
I don't
talk
know
about
what
other policies.
I don't know what you're talking about, DNS servers. I'm talking about indefinite detention. I'm talking about the repeal of the Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the fact that the federal government can come pick up anybody for any reason and hold them without due process.
That's the Patriot
that's what I'm talking
Go
about.
Ahead, yeah. I understand.
Yeah, the Patriot
no, we're talking about in, we're talking about NDAA. Patriot Act is the soft version of it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You mean you have not read that bill? In all of the information they've given you to go out and do these shows, you haven't read that bill?
To go out and do these shows? No, I talk as an individual citizen. I donate money, I volunteer, I knock on doors, I make phone calls for candidates that I believe and support in. This is what I do. This is what American citizens should do all across the country.
Yeah, we believe that we're doing that as well. And with that, I'm going to bring in another caller. I will keep the mics open, and we'd like to give this gentleman or lady, I believe it's a gentleman by looking at it, give them a shot to chime in. And I'm going to open up their mic. Your mic is live. Go ahead. Shuffle. That's
oh
that.
My.
Skype caller.
Are you sure you want me on your show?
Sure, why not?
I have no idea. What
First
are you,
Amendment.
Satan? Satan?
Well, if you met Romney, I probably don't
Most
watch
Republicans
show,
and Democrats
you know,
think
like
I am Satan.
Oh, Randy, you nutball. The way you did that was like some kind of like some kind of horror movie, you know, like are you sure you
well,
want me in your house with your children?
Oh,
well,
like the new
well,
song,
it is
Halloween.
It is the Halloween season, guys. Well, go ahead, Randy. Go ahead and if you'd like to chime in, I've got the floor, and then we haven't heard from Rex after that, so go ahead, Randy, and then Rex, and then
yeah,
we'll go
you know,
from there.
I tell you, for anybody who really wants to know what Romney believes, you could go to some of my archives because during the Republican primaries, I was tearing Romney a new one because of his unconstitutional positions that he was taking. I mean, I was going through there, and I've got the sound bites of what he said specifically, kind of like what you were saying about, hey, I can find a sound bite. Well, you know, I can find – I've got sound bites where he thinks – that the president should have the authority and the ability to decide what American citizen he should have assassinated. And, of course, we are to assume and to believe with all of our hearts that Romney would never violate that principle whatsoever. And it's just absolutely insane and ludicrous that anybody would willingly do so. And let me say, you know, you mentioned the Patriot Act. Really, the Patriot Act really kind of violated the Fourth Amendment primarily. That, you know, the ability to be secure in one's possessions, be secure from undue arrest, and all these things. And really, the NDAA violates several things. It violates the Fifth and the Fourth Amendments. But as we discussed a night or so ago, it violates Article 1, Section 9. What was it? I forget which clause it was that says no bills of attainder. And it absolutely violates that constitutional tenet. And Romney has said that he believes it's well and good to be in his power to do so. And so, you know, if there was nothing else, that's enough for me to never cast my vote for somebody who believes it's okay for him to assassinate me for whatever reason he can dream up and come up with. That alone. And then, of course, you throw in all the other stuff that you all have mentioned. You guys have done a good job without me. I congratulate you and commend you all. And, you know, for people who really, you know, try to go out of their way to justify any sort of, well, we got to support a little bit of evil, is people who just do not have the ability to think rightly. They are thinking out of fear. Fear is driving their madness. Oh, we got to get rid of Obama. We got to get rid of Obama. Well, you know what? As much as I hate it, maybe Obama will, you know, the worst evil might be better off for this country to find.
That's what we need. We need you guys to be accurate like that. You were accurate. Say that again.
I'm not sure.
You said Obama, the worst fear is better than the fear that we don't know. So you basically just said vote for Obama, right? Because it's the worst fear. It's better than the one we don't know, correct?
He did not say vote for Obama. As I said earlier, what I'm saying is, if you know, also if you've looked in the chat and listened to the archives of these shows, my show and then Rex, they have a show as well, the Tex and Rex show. And we're talking about vetting third-party candidates, letting the people know that there are options other than Romney and Obama. And I do have that clip here.
Let me correct this guy's thinking on here. I did not say vote for Obama because he's the evil we know and Romney's the evil we don't know. I say vote. I said if we let Obama win as the most evil, because maybe we could finally not just wake people up, but get their stinking fat heinies out of the bed and into the fight. That's what's happening right now. I'm tired of hearing, we need to wake people up. Well, guess what? It's beyond time waking up. It's time to get their butts out of bed and into this fight and start upholding the Constitution instead of caveating on, oh, well, we got to let this guy violate our Constitution just a little bit to keep the guy who's going to violate it more out of office. That's insane.
Because you think it'll wake people up if we have somebody violate our Constitution more, then all of a sudden, all the people who watch Honey Boo Boo, the people who watch Honey Boo Boo and get Obama phones like the million in Ohio, and the people who talk about Obama will pay for our rent and our mortgage, they're going to wake up all of a sudden.
This country is doomed
when we have the person who violates our Constitution more, right?
Well, hold on, Randy. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me talk, Randy.
Well, hey, Paul, let me do that. That's my job, okay? That's my job, not yours. So let me do that. Randy, real quick, have him give his say, and then you go ahead.
You're riled. Sorry, I apologize.
That's okay. No need to apologize. We just, you know.
Nah, you're just a jarhead, Randy.
You're passionate. You're passionate. That's a good thing.
Yeah, he fought for this country.
Well, yeah, it's definitely that emotions are running high. This is a very important election. We all realize that. You know, we go ahead, Chris. Well, let Paul finish and then
please, Paul. You've had a good 45 minutes almost straight. Go ahead.
I like that little dig. Chris. That was nice. I like that. That was classic. Hey, I believe in this guy's passion. He has a passion in his heart of what he believes in. And you guys got to understand and you got to understand that. Oh, I'm a jarhead. I'm not a Marine. I've never been in it. My dad's a retired Air Force 24 years. I grew up as an Air Force brat. We lived in Ramstein, Germany, when a bomb blew up at the front gate in 1986. I mean, we were on lockdown for almost 2 years. I mean, we lived in Little Rock, Arkansas, where I still reside to this day, work at AT&T during the day in a gas station overnight as second job just to provide for me and my daughter
and
have goods and services that I can provide for her future and save for her college. I have a passion in my heart that we have to not elect Barack Obama. And I think if you go out there and you vote for Virgil Good and you vote for Gary Johnson, it's a vote not for Mitt Romney. So just like this gentleman said earlier, I believe that people will wake up if we have a person that violates the Constitution 100% instead of violates the Constitution 10%. I don't believe that. You can go look at the YouTube videos over and over again of Barney Frank, Maxine Waters in 2007 saying there is no housing bubble. You can look at the Obama phone voter. You can look at the lady who said Obama's going to pay for my mortgage.
Hold on.
Go ahead, Bob.
I'm going to interject here. Chris, if you have a question, go ahead. And then, by gosh, I was going to say something, but go ahead, Chris. I can't remember what I was gonna chime in about. So go ahead. Oh yeah, I was gonna bring up about the independents and how it's, you know, even if all the conservatives got together and voted for Romney, it's the independents are gonna keep Romney from getting elected because the independents are not gonna see a
poll has Romney
contract.
Leading the independents. Every single one, except for two.
We look at a national poll. We look at the polls of the states, which really count.
Go
ahead, Chris. Hold on. I told Chris I was going to let him get his question. Go ahead.
No, I'm curious as to where he gets his numbers from because national polls don't mean shit. This is election by states, and in every state that's important, Romney's losing. So what are you talking about?
Oh, okay. Okay, go to battlegroundwatch.com. It's a great man that I've been reading a lot of his websites. Go to Real Clear Politics. Please click on the cross tabs of these particular polls. Name me more than 10% of the polls where Mitt Romney's out. CNN ORT poll out tonight where Barack Obama is up, 50 to 47%. Mitt Romney's winning.
No.
I'm giving you
the whole thing. Not national popularity polls, state by state. We vote by states in this country.
Yes.
Not
I'm
for
giving
a national
you direct, specific polls.
I've seen those, and what you're saying is not the same thing
public
I've seen.
Public policy
so.
Poll in Ohio, where Obama is up 4%, Mitt Romney is winning independents. How is that?
Hey, Paul, I got a question for you, because as far as I'm concerned, polls are only really important if you're in a strip club. I could give a shit about them otherwise.
Yeah, me too.
If Romney is winning so handily in all the polls, then what the hell difference does it make if I vote for Virgil Good or not?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm gonna go around to my neighbors and my friends and family. They're all voting for Mitt Romney. They're all voting for Tim Griffin.
They are.
They're all voting for Tom Cotton in Arkansas over Mike Ross, who's retiring. They're voting for Rick Crawford. They're voting for our person in the 1st Congressional District in the state of Arkansas. And we're voting for Republican candidates that believe that they can do better than Barack Hussein Obama. That unemployment over 8% for 44 months is not good for our country.
A monkey could do better than Obama.
Don't interrupt. Okay, go ahead, Rick.
Can I ask a question here?
Yes, sir.
You know, we get so wrapped around the idea that, we've had this discussion, and yeah, I brought up the one point, and believe me, I'm not a one point type of guy. I mean, there are 100 reasons why I could not vote for Romney just to keep Obama out. But be that as it may, let me ask you something, Paul. What are you going to do the day after the elections? Okay, so you're not really for Romney is what I'm getting, but you're wanting to vote for Romney to keep Obama out is what I'm understanding here. So my question
no,
is...
No. You misconstrued me.
You actually think there are good things to vote for Romney for?
I've named quite a few. I mean, I named his energy policy, which I think is what's going to save America in our future and create jobs and make us energy independent and not give money to terrorists. I mean, you can name businesses that he helped invest in that started from scratch, such as Domino's and Staples and Sports Authority and Amy at Theaters. I mean, you can look at his business record and with Bain Capital and what he did in the Salt Lake Olympics, where there were $400 million in debt.
Oh, yeah.
In the Salt Lake Olympics. It's the only Olympics in the last 40 years that was profitable.
I'll give you all those. I'll just say, hey, look, you got all those. Okay. But let me ask you this question, because as an American, watching the two-party duopoly destroy my nation, okay, and it's been president after president, it's not gotten any better. It's gotten progressively worse and worse and worse. And so, you know, they said the same things about Bush. They said the same things about Bush's father. And we hear these things over and over again. And I'm really wondering, when will we learn the lesson that this two-party duopoly is never going to deliver candidates who are going to uphold their word and actually do what they say they're going to do or that people believe they're capable of doing? When are we going to wake up to the fact they don't uphold their promises?
What do you mean? Because in the 1990s, we had the longest...
You mentioned something. Wait a minute, Paul. You mentioned something that... about Romney and, you know, about the Olympics. Well, I just got a small clip I'd like to play. Maybe give time a couple people to get the breath. And this is about Romney and about where he got the money for the Olympics.
Lost tape obtained by ABC News from Romney's 2002 campaign for governor, surreptitiously shot by his Democratic opponents.
I'm a big believer in getting money where the money is. And the money is in Washington. I've learned from my Olympic experience that if you have people that really understand how Washington works and have personal associations there, you can get money to help build economic development opportunities.
Just 2 weeks ago, Romney suggested that under his leadership, the 2002 Salt Lake City Olympics got no more taxpayer money than previous games.
In the history of the Olympic movement, the federal government has always provided the transportation and security. So we came to the federal government asking for help on transportation and security.
But in this video, he talks about getting all kinds of money.
We actually received over $410 million from the federal government for the Olympic Games. That is a huge increase over anything ever done before. We did that by going after every agency of government.
He even boasts about getting money for the Olympics from the Department of Education. That's right, the Department of Education.
I believe the number was over $1 million of Department of Education funding to buy tickets for kids. This way, we got kids there. We also got additional revenues that we wouldn't have had. That kind of creativity I want to bring to everything we do.
It's exactly the kind of approach he promised to bring to Massachusetts in 2002.
I want to go after every grant, every project, every department.
You might expect a candidate for governor to promise to get federal money for his state, but that is precisely what now presidential candidate Romney has attacked his Republican opponents for doing.
Republicans spent too much money, borrowed too much money, earmarked too much, and Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich have to be held accountable in this race. I'm the only guy that hasn't spent time in Washington.
And that's where he got that money for the
You ready
Olympics.
For me?
So go ahead, Randy. I know that... Hold on. I interrupted Randy when he was talking to play that audio. And we do want to have
No, that's okay. You guys can move on. You know, there's... I'm just going to leave my comment to myself because I'm going to try to gentlemanly... do myself here. I'm trying to you know, somewhat be you know, I don't know what I'm trying to
you're
be
doing
sometimes.
Good Randy, I appreciate your patience,
Randy, and Rex does that, and I haven't heard from Rex for a little bit, so if Rex
could like
this,
bored.
I mean, go ahead.
Rex is sleeping.
Did you fall asleep, Rex? Yep, maybe he has. No.
Okay, no, I'm here. I'm here because Randy keeps me awake. But the interesting
you know,
thing.
You know what? There's one thing about because I go around speaking, you know, all over the country, and there's one word that's never been used to describe me, and that's ever been boring.
Yeah, I have to agree. That's very true. the interesting thing that I find here is it seems to me that Paul, with the Tea Party moniker, is more of a Republican loyalist, and the only issue that he's voting on is party loyalty, as opposed to a conservative who believes that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. And he's going through all sorts of penumbras and permutations to justify his vote for Romney. You don't have to justify your vote for Romney. You're free to vote for Romney. I mean, you know, you can throw away your vote just as anybody can throw away their vote on Obama. But there are those of us who believe that in order for this republic to last, we need to vote for people who are principled and who actually believe in the Constitution. And that what the Republicans did was so grotesque and so over the top that they finally have pushed people further than they've ever been pushed before, that this time we're going to see a significant vote for the third parties, and one of them might actually win, given the fact that neither Obama nor Romney has the ability to secure 270 electors. Obama has a better chance, obviously. But either way, it's entirely possible that this doesn't happen. And even if it does, where the oligarchs keep winning, I will at least be able to go to bed knowing that I didn't help them destroy the country.
Okay, folks, we only have about 10 minutes left, and I do have someone who just called in the line. I knew who they are. It is a female, I believe, and it's always good to have a female voice to chime in to soothe the men.
You guys straighten up.
Exactly. And at this time, I think I'll be letting in Mary, and then we have someone else on the call. I'd like to try to get in a couple minutes or so, maybe
okay.
Five, and go ahead, Mary.
Thanks. I just wanted to say, Paul, you know, I'm glad you called in. I'm glad that we got the conversation going about Romney. And, I mean, I've been a Republican for years, but, you know, I don't trust him, and I don't trust Obama. So that's why I'm not going to look at either one of those candidates. I'm going to branch out and really start learning more about our government and learning really about the Constitution, which I really hadn't, you know, I've just always been just a Republican voter. And I'm just saying, I don't trust them. They've lied. They cheated. I mean, what they did in Tampa was that did it for me. I just won't even go with them at all. So you can go with Romney if you want. But, you know, I've listened to these shows, and they really have some really good information. We've been, you know, looking at all the different states, all the different people running for different offices. You know, it's all about learning, and I would consider Romney, but I don't trust him, and he can't get my vote because of that. So sorry, I'll give it back to y'all.
Okay, well, thank you, Mary. Now, I'll keep your line open if you'd like to chime in. And at this time, I have someone on 407, and I believe it's a new caller, and I'll just give the rules real quickly. One, no profanity. Two, stay respectful for everyone who is on the line. And at this time, just tell us your name, where you're calling from, and tell us what's on your mind. 407, your mic is live.
Okay, this is Nathan from Orlando. I want to say I thank you for what Mary just said. That there is a sentiment of a lot of people that are following their conscience, and I was debating through the email today back and forth with, you know, well, he can't win or you can't win or somebody else can't win, and we got to get – and I tried to explain. When you tell me I have to vote for someone because they're the only one that can beat Obama, then you're telling me – I don't own my own vote. I don't own my own conscience, and that right there is why we're here. Listen, we keep hearing about the Republicans. This is what they always tell us. If you want to run for office, you need to start at the bottom, you know, just a county commissioner or something like that, and move your way up. But you know what? That's trash. The stronghold is at the top. If you get it, you run for city council and somebody you want to run for state senate or something like that, it's the party that decides if they're going to endorse you, get behind you, stand on a stage and spend money on commercials. So that the stronghold's at the top. We had thousands of people across this country running for offices in 2010, only about a handful of them got in because the Republican Party jumped in the Tea Party business. I want to say to you guys on your show, I've been sitting here listening to you on the computer, and I appreciate real debate where you kept the host kept coming back to the Constitution. Listen, I want to point out something about the Constitution before I hang up. I see in the Constitution no electoral college. I see electors that the people vote for. It says in the 24th Amendment we get to vote for the electors, and we get to vote for the electors, the president, and we vote for the vice president, and we vote for the electors of vice president. And that there cannot be contradicted in the Constitution. We got to find out. We got to get in the Constitution and find out what it says. And because the message of the Constitution is in the Constitution. It's not in the Federalist Papers. That's important. It's not in anything in history, while that lends light to it. But the message of the Constitution is just like the Bible. The message of the Bible is in the Bible, not in a commentator. Those things are important. Church history is important. We can learn from it. But that's not the standard. The standard is the Constitution. And that's what we need to be looking to. And don't compromise that. You guys, I really appreciate what you guys are doing. This is real debate.
Amen, brother.
Hey,
I haven't talked
much. Can I just put in some input here? And I think everybody needs to hear this. It's very important. Robert?
Okay, great.
All right. Well, is that all right?
Yeah, go ahead. And then
I'm going to be fast.
Take your time. That's okay.
No, you know me. I can talk fast. All right, here's the key. When Obama got elected, he got elected, and the House and the Senate before him took over majority because of the things that the Bush administration did and the House and the Senate did before. That's why the country revolted and elected them. Not because of anything we did, but because of what Republicans did. Then Obama comes in. Tea Party steps up. They have sweeping victories across multiple governorships, and we take over the House, don't quite get the Senate. In the time that Obama's been doing all these abominations, our House majority has done nothing to stop him. And I'm going to say this again, nothing, point by point by point, from the debt ceiling every step of the way right now to 20 senators on the Republican side. We're going to stand with Obama on this Treaty of the Sea.
We agree 100%.
We have a broken, corrupt party. And so they did nothing either for one of two reasons. One, so we would bow down and accept Romney. Or two, they are worthless, inept, and corrupt. So whatever the case may be, And I believe they did it. They just did nothing, so it'd get so ugly that we'd roll over and vote for Obama. But what they did was they woke a lot of people up. Our hero is not Ron Paul. It's Newt Gingrich, most of us. Okay?
Right.
Newt Gingrich had the exact same situation that Boehner has right now. He had one of the most liberal presidents in our history. He had control of the House and not control of the Senate. He didn't let Clinton get away with this shit. Obama is one man. Fear of Obama is a marketing technique. That's all it is. And here's the bottom line. People are sick of it. The only reason people are running around trying to convince people to vote for Romney is he's losing. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to be doing what you're doing. I'm done.
Okay, with that, folks, I've got only a couple of minutes left, so I'm going to just leave on the mics of the panel. Rex, if you've got any closing thoughts, go ahead, and then we'll proceed to close out the show. Thank you, everyone who has come on tonight in the call to call in, and, of course, well as the chat and the folks who are going to be listening in on the archives. So I'm going to leave the floor to you, Rex. Go ahead.
Well, thanks, Robert, and thanks for moderating the show. And I appreciate Tea Party Paul calling in and attempting to debate with us. I hope that you know, they don't take too many taxes out of his check for that. But the interesting thing to me is that when we have to reach for, you know, anecdotal evidence of why Romney is such a good guy, as opposed to having a bold, clear statement as to why he can utterly defeat Obama and restore sanity to the federal government, shows you how weak a candidate he is, a candidate that nobody wanted. I mean, you know, Tea Party Paul mentioned that you know, Obama managed to get Obamacare passed with Pelosi and Reid despite the will of the American people. Well, the Republican Party managed to shove Romney down our throats despite the will of the conservative base of the party. And now that the conservative base has said, okay, no sale, some people are twisting themselves up into a knot trying to justify this insipid vote. Very simple fact is Romney's horrible. Everybody knows it. Even the people that come to defend him out of some kind of conviction and fear out of Obama know that Romney sucks, which is why they have to reach for straws. And the fact is that this is never going to end. Voting for the lesser of two evils has brought us to our knees. And if we don't stop it now, we'll never stop it. And the fact is that I have to account for my vote to my family, to my progeny, to those that will come after me. And I'm going to tell them very simply, I did all that I could to give you the republic that I was given. And if I fail in that endeavor, it's not for want of trying. Back to you, Robert.
Well, thank you very much, Rex. I only got about 30 seconds, so I'd like to thank everyone once again for calling in tonight and participating, and also for the folks who participated in chat, and for the folks who are going to be listening to this later on in the archives. And I will finish this show, as I do every show, with a song by Aubrey Ashburn, and I think it's a really good song to bring us back from the evening's events. Good night, everyone. Take care, and hope to see you again.